Okay. Teresh Bapeh. Teresh Bapeh is critical, mamish critical, to Yahadus, to Teresh Bichsav, and yet very often, very easily misunderstood. So I'd like to just try to elaborate a little bit. It's quite obvious to anyone who knows anything about learning that a Teresh Bichsav without a Teresh Bapeh is virtually, practically a useless document. You can't deal with it. You don't know what it's talking about. One of my favorite examples is, which is not the best example, but it's a cute example, is if you notice that on there's such a thing as Palm Sunday that the Christians have. They come out of the church with a palm branch in their hand like this. So where'd they get it from, of course? It's a mitzvah of lulav. Do you know why they do it on Sunday? Because they don't have a Torah Shabbat Peh. It says, "Lekachtem lechem beYom Rishon." Oh, that means Sunday, Yom Rishon. But no, it means the first day of the Chag. But how in the world should they know that if they don't have a Torah Shabbat Peh? Okay. My assumption is, it's not an assumption, I'm quite certain, everybody here today put on tefillin, right? How in the world do you know what to put on and where to put it? You know what that says to me? Absolutely nothing. I have no clue. What's the tofis? That for sure I don't know. And ukshartam lois, what should I put? Nothing. Psukim? No, write the psukim over here. What should I do? I don't know. There's no clue. Sukkah, besukkah's teshu. What's a sukkah? We think we know what a sukkah is. But we don't know what a sukkah is. If we didn't see the sukkah, if we didn't have mesecha sukkah, we wouldn't know what it is. We wouldn't know anything about anything. Yeah. After childbirth, the Torah says, V'tomo shvuayim, kimei nidoso. Shvuayim is written without an akudas. It could be shivim. Shvuayim or shivim? Shivim what? Days, weeks, months, years. No clue. What a world it would be. I have no idea. And it basically, it's a useless document. So there had to be a Torah. This is the famous Gemara in Shabbos where the Goy wanted to learn Teresh Bichsav without Teresh Bal Peh. So Hillel told him, okay, you know, Shammai said, take a walk. Hillel told him, okay, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Then the next day he comes back and he says, let's review it again. He says, what's this? This is an Aleph. He says, no, this is a Beis. He says, this is a Gimel, this is a Dalet. He says, yesterday you told me the opposite. He says, you see any Teresh Bal Peh? You have no idea what it is. It's all based on what I tell you. That's all. Without Teresh Bal Peh, there's nothing. So this is it. Now, Teresh Bal Peh, therefore, had to have been given at Sinai with the Teresh Bichsav. Because if not, then the Teresh Bichsav would have been a useless document from its inception, from the very beginning. And you know what we do with useless documents? At best, we bury them. At worst, we burn them. Useless document. Moshe Rabbeinu's generation would have been lost. So they had to be given a Torah Shabbat Peh together with the Torah Shabbat Chsav. Now, Torah Shabbat Chsav is a very serious document. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guaranteed that it will survive to this very day. That in itself is one of the most miraculous occurrences in all of human history. That this same document that was written 3,330 years ago, well, it was started to be written, it was written or dictated by Hashem over the 40 years of the Midbar, that this document has survived to this day completely intact, as the Torah promised it would when it said, Lo si shochach mi pizaroi, it will not be forgotten. The fact that Jews in Teman, who were separated from us 1,600 years or more, came back to Eretz Yisrael with the same Sefer Torah, just with one shinui and a noise between a hay and an aleph and psua daka and chaseris yaseris, which don't change anything. After so many years of separation, no contact whatsoever, no fax machines, no emails, no pictures to send, nothing. And everything remains intact. It's the most unbelievable system of what the Torah is. It's so precious. And it's a way of life. And it's a serious way of life. It's a way of life where Mechalaleho by Shabbos, what does it say? And yet it doesn't tell us what the Melochas are. Serious document. Serious, scary, and doesn't even make any sense. The Teretz is the Rabbeinu Shalel, who was so serious about preserving this Teresh Bichsav, who made sure that it's preserved to this very day. You know, as a rabbi, he used to be a rabbi, he retired in Florida, Rabbi Davis. He told me once when he brings a sefer, a chassidish sefer, to fix his Sifrei Torah, every couple of years, the Reform rabbi also brings him to the temple to fix his scrolls. And he once, the sefer told me, once asked the Reform rabbi, why does he bring it? Why do you need a guy like me? He says, those scrolls are the only genuine thing I have in this temple. I want to make sure they stay that way. Even the Reform rabbi couldn't change the scrolls. So it's such a serious document. And Hashem has protected it over all the generations. And he's going to allow such a document to be useless? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. He guaranteed it would survive, and he guaranteed that it would survive and be relevant by giving us a Torah Shabbat Peh. And therefore, he guarantees the Torah Shabbat Peh as well, that the Torah Shabbat Peh will survive together with the Torah Shabbat Chsav to this very day. Now, there's a very interesting system that has helped the survival. And it's the survival that really, you know, until Rabbeinu HaKodesh, it was all passed down orally, Torah Shabbat Peh. The reason for that, by the way, was because it's only for Klal Yisrael. It's the privilege we have. We accepted it with its responsibility. It isn't a frivolous document. It isn't to be given into the hands of irresponsible people who are not committed to be dedicated to keep it. And we accepted that responsibility. So it was given to us. Torah Shabbat Chsav was written down, and we know what happened. The Talmai HaMelech, you know, the time of the Greeks and this, they made sure that it was translated. So whatever the Chachomim did and this, they had Ruach HaKodesh, they made certain tikkunim, whatever, but Lemaisa, the Torah Shabbat. But it's useless. The Torah Shabbat Chsav is useless to them. They think you have to take the Lulav on Sundays. It's a useless document without a Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay? So, Torah Shabbat Peh was not written down. And therefore, it was kept a secret. There's no way they could take it because it's thought you have to be the Talmud of the Rebbe in order to learn the Torah Shabbat Peh. So we preserved it to us. Came at Kufa, Rabbeinu HaKodesh saw that we're going to be dispersed in exile. The Torah might be forgotten altogether. So they made a Bezdin, and Bezdin decided based on a pasuk, Eslasus Lashem Eferut Rasecho. It was written down, but it was written down in a very cryptic way. To this very day, even despite the advances of the art scroll Gemara, you still need a Rebbe to learn Gemara. Nobody ever became a Talmud Chochom by learning art scroll by himself. And it's a very good job they did. They did an amazing job. But somebody just told me, he walked in by one of the Gedolei Hador the other day this week, and what do you think was out of his desk? The art scroll Gemara in Hebrew. At least it wasn't in English. So, Mamish one of the Gedolei Hador. You know, he didn't, but because it collects a lot of the Mefarshim and this, it's very well done. But without a Rebbe, it's also useless. The keys to Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the key to Torah Shabbat Chsav, is all handed from Rebbe to Talmud throughout the generations, and that's what we do to this very day. But the Rebbeim and the Talmidim had certain means in preserving the Torah Shabbat Peh. It's a very beautiful Orach Chaim HaKodesh. He writes, it's in Mitzora, Tazria Mitzora. I always forget, and as many times as I look, I forget again. That's Gears of the Ankusim. My Gears of the Ankusim was I forgot. So Mimela, I always have to forget first. Anyway, but it's in those, one of those two parshas. He writes there that he has a kasha. He says, the Chazal say that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Olal Amorim, Hashem took him to all the Botei Midrashes to see how they were learning. He took him to the Beis Medrash Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was darshaning, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the drosha, and he cried. Then at the end, he heard, he said, Halocha L'Moshe Misinai, so he felt a little bit, whatever. He said, how could that be? Chazal say, Kol Masha Talmud Vosik Osa L'Chadish Nitma Moshe Misinai. Everything that a bona fide Talmud Chochem is going to be Machadish was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was taught everything by Hashem. How could he not understand Rebbe Akiva's shir? So the Rosh Chaim says, a Yesod. Others say it too. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught all the psukim. He was dictated verbatim. word for word, the psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught the Torah Shebal Peh, all the halachas of Torah Shebal Peh. What he wasn't taught is where in Torah Shebal Peh, Shebichsav, is hinted all the halachas of Torah Shebal Peh. Every halacha of Torah Shebal Peh is hinted in Torah Shebichsav. And that is the job for the Chachmei HaDoros. So in every generation, the Chachomim darshan the psukim. That's when they darshan with the Yud Gimel Midas, with the Nun Beis Midas, with all this Midas HaTorah and the Dreshes, to figure out, to see where in the psukim lie these halachas of Torah Shebal Peh. As the Gemara says, Osnil ben Knaz, when Bimei Evloi Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, when they were Misabil for Moshe Rabbeinu after he died, they forgot 1700, I think it says, halachas. And Osnil ben Knaz restored them, Bekal v'chomer, b'gzeir ha'shomer, b'pilpula, it says. Because he had the Midas Shatur and the Dreshes, when he knew how to darshan the psukim, and all the halachas were hinted in the psukim. So we have a system that, number one, doesn't allow for us to forget. Because we could always, and when it was ever forgotten, they re-derived it from the psukim. And that's what you find the Gemara says, Minolon, and how do you know, and for Minolon, where do you get it from? And the Gemara says, Dichsib, it brings rayas from psukim. That's what the Chazal did. So we have the system. But then it's even better than that. How do we keep the accuracy of understanding of the Torah Shebal Peh? It's being passed down from generation to generation. Two sources is the greatest way to understand something. Because if there's a posuk and there's a halacha, and they both they're equal to each other. Yeah. So I know if I, let's say sometimes we do this in learning, this is a halacha. I think this is the pshat, but that wouldn't fit the posuk, so that can't be the pshat. This fits the posuk, but that doesn't fit the halacha. And you work and you work and you refine and you refine. When you have two sources that you know are equal but that look a little different, that's when you can get to the truth, where you can refine the truth to really understand what's going on. So this is one of the ways that we have to assure that the Torah survives, and to assure that we have a double-edged source, not sword, but source, to be able to discover what the principles really mean. And this is the way the Torah went on. Till the time of Hillel and Shammai, the Gemara says this was the system. There was minimal machlekes, if any, and they understood, and they learned from the Rebbeim, and they were mishamish the Rebbeim, and they got the depths, and between the psukim, and between the halacha of the Torah Shebal Peh that was passed down, and working their way in between, they came out to depth of understanding, and they came to a total understanding of the Torah concepts, and if something was ever forgotten, they could restore it from the posuk, and it was an amazing system. Comes the time of the Gemara in Sanhedrin says the time of Hillel and Shammai, so Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, that Nisrabu Talmidim Shloshim Shul Kol Sorchom, there became an abundance of Talmidim that weren't mishamish the Rebbeim properly. They didn't work hard on the Shir. They didn't go over it again and again and again and figure out what does he mean and what does he say and how does he know and what does this mean and what does that mean and what are the other things? That whole business. They weren't mishamish Kol Sorchom. So then there was a problem. That's where Machlekes started. Because he saw one perspective, he saw another perspective. The Rebbe said one thing, but there were different ways of looking at it, and the total concept was a little more sophisticated than they got, because they didn't work hard enough, they weren't mishamish, the Rebbe called Sorchoy, so they didn't get it in full depth, but they got a piece, this piece, and that piece, each one had a perspective. Now, two things. For the later generations, those two, the arguments that they had, also helped us for the Torah to survive. If Abayim and Rava had a different perspective on Yishalom Midas, okay? If Abayim and Rava didn't argue about Yishalom Midas, I'd have no clue what Yishalom Midas is about. How do we figure out what Yishalom Midas is about? Abayim said this, he brought a riot from here. Rava said, no, that's not a riot. Abayim said this, this is a riot. No, that's not a riot. Back and forth. All that gives us insight into what the concepts really are. So the Torah actually preserved itself in a generation, or from a generation, where they weren't mishamish called Sorochim, and they didn't get the full picture, the partial pictures that they got allowed the Torah to survive to the next generation, because through the arguments, getting in between the arguments, we begin to see what they're talking about. We had today, we're dealing with an argument between Rabbi Kiva Eger and a Tosfos, as a kasha on Tosfos. Tosfos has one perspective, on Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, not really, but yeah, I guess, on a specific Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa by Mappes Mursa. And Rabbi Kiva Eger has another perspective, and you get in between, all of a sudden we began to discover what Melach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is all about, and eye-opening, something that I never saw before. And that's how the Torah survives. But I want to give you just another way of looking at this perspective. I want to ask you a question. There used to be a French little song called Frère Jacques. Anybody ever know that? You know that? You know how to sing it? You want to sing it for us? Yeah.
Yeah. Really not?
Really not. Okay. I'll sing it for you, okay? Frère Jacques, dormez-vous, sonnez la matina, dan, dan, don. That's the French version, okay? Let's go on. We haven't lost our minds yet, believe me. Okay, you hear? Okay, let's go now to, let's see, oh, we're in Israel, right? Oh. Achinu Yaakov, Achinu Yaakov, Altishan, Hapamel Mitzalzel, Tzil, Tzil, Tzil. Dan, dan, dong, sil, sil, sil. Let's go to the United States. I know you don't want to, but anyway. Yeah. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Brother John, morning bells are ringing. Ding, dong, ding. Sil, sil, sil. Ding, dong, ding. Dan, dan, dong. And in Russia, I'm told it's, guess what? Boom, boom, boom. I don't get it. Are the church bells really different in all these places? What's going on over here? Teretz is. There's something, I don't know what it's called. I call it acculturation. There are sounds that we grow up with. You know, Israelis don't know the difference between a pan and a pen because they don't have a pa. They, right? They have a, they don't have a pa. A pa. They have a pa and a eh. They don't have, so the pan, pen, believe me, I had enough pans. I got pens, pens, I got pens, you know. Like, they don't have there's certain sounds that you're just not part of your sound. So, to the Frenchman, the bell rings, this, whatever you call it, and he hears dan, dan, dong. And the American hears ding, dong, ding. And the Israeli hears til, til, til. And the Russian, of course, you know what he hears. So what?
A bomb,
what? A bomb. Okay, very good. So, what's going on over here? The tendency is that we hear things according to what in learning we talk about the Sheirish Neshoma. Each person has his own Sheirish Neshoma. He hears the same concept differently. And what really is happening is there's one, a bell has a unified ring. It has a little bit of a dan in it, a little bit of a ding in it, a little bit of a tzil in it, a little bit of a boom in it. But each person hears according to his hearing, according to what he becomes used to. Same thing in learning. There's one unified perspective that until Shammai Behillel was passed down without Machlekes, then came along Talmidim Shloshim called Sorchom, and they began to hear just one perspective, one piece of it. They didn't hear the whole thing. Now, so you'll say, oh, Kifalt Rebbeinu Shalom, the Torah is finished. All we have out of this unified ringing of a bell, we got a ding or a dung or a ding or a boom or a tzil or a dan. Give out, it's all over. No. Because Chazal say, Kol ma shetalmid vosik lechadish, and talmidim v'shamay v'shil, with talmidim v'sikin, and the next generation, and the next generation, and so with the Rishonim, and so with the Achronim, and maybe today we have some too. They was nitna l'meishim Sinai. Hashem taught all of these perspectives independently to Moshe Mi-Sinai. The Gemara in Chagiga, I think, on Daf Beis, Amud Beis, I think says, there were Memtes Taimim Lahatir, or Memtes Taimim Les, or Memtes Taimim Lipsov, or Memtes Taimim Lahashir, Memtes Taimim Letayr, or Memtes Taimim Letamei, V'kulam Eroa Echod Nitnu. All given from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the fact that Hashem knew that the Torah was going to come a point where we won't be able to understand it to its fullest. Remember, this is Torah Hashem. We're talking about infinite depth. The depth of the Torah is infinite. And there's going to be a time where in generations where they won't be Mishamish called Sorcham. They're going to have some lack in their understanding. The understanding that they have is also Torah and was given to us by Hashem at Har Sinai, was taught. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't pass on all the individual understandings. He passed on that bell, which had a little ding and a little seal and a little boom and a little dan. But when the point came that they couldn't hear the whole thing, the total perspective, each one was legitimatized because it was originally taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So the Torah that we have today, whether it's with Abaye's perspective or Rabbah's perspective or this one or that one, or this, it's all legitimate Torah mi Sinai, and that's the way Hashem wants it to be in this generation. And for this generation that wasn't Mishamish Kol Sorchem, we have an additional, I guess, a substitute or a makeup or a b'dieved advantage that from the different perspectives, we delve in between and we can at least begin to see some of the concepts. Because when this, remember, I'll ask you a question. I don't know if you guys ever saw that, but what's the difference between a presidential lecture speech or a presidential debate? A campaign speech or a campaign debate?
Debate is both sides. Right?
No, I understand, but what happens? What's the difference? Where do you get to see the candidate more?
Speech.
No, just, debate.
The speech is a canned speech. You make vote for me. I'm the best guy in the whole wide world that ever was created. But when you see a debate, you see he asks a question, has he answered the question? You get to see what's really going on. So Lamaisa, from the debate, you begin to understand what's going on. Okay, so that's that. Now, let's just take it one step further. You might be, and we're almost finished here. Believe it or not, I made it very fast because I apologize. I have to run. You might be worried, but I mean the nervous amongst you might be worried, but what does Hashem want? Oh, we have the solution to that. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Oh yeah, I get it. Elu ve'elu. You mean he too doesn't know? But he, the Gemara is the kasha. But he kesveiko klapi shmaya, because it says there. It says they met Elio. The Gemara in Zion, Daf Zion in Gittin says they met Elio Anovi and said, "What's Hashem doing? He's yoishev oisik pilegish begiva. He's learning the sugya pilegish begiva. He learns Torah. Of Yosef bni Mahoimer, Yerin bni Mahoimer. Rabbeinu Shlom, reflect the Gemara. He kesveiko klapi shmaya. Does Hashem have any sofik? No. Elo veelo di relikim chayim. How does that answer the question? The both? What do you want? Which way do you want it? Beis Hillel says, let's just take this simplistic example. You make Bor Pri HaGofen and then Kiddush Friday night. You say the Brocha. According to Beis Shammai, you say the Brocha, Mekadosh HaShabbos, and then Bor Pri HaGofen. It's a Mishnah in Brochas, right? Which does Hashem want? Eilu v'eilu. Sounds a little scary, right? So let me try to explain it. This is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that has a shaila whether kosvei tefillin mezuzos are potter from mitzvahs. Whether oisik ba mitzvah, potter ba mitzvah applies to Talmud Torah as well. It's a big shaila because Talmud Torah is to bring to do the mitzvah. So how can you be potter from mitzvahs with Talmud Torah? Well, it's a whole shaila about whatever it is. So the Gemara says, didn't Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who was learning all the time, Terosam Nosa, didn't he sit in the sukkah? Didn't he hold Halemid Shlomo Naslasus Noechlish and Nifro? Of course, he must have sat in the sukkah because he holds, if you learn Shlomo Naslasus, you would have been better off not being created. So the Navarvik Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yankov Yafin, Zachrei Levrocha, asked the following question. He says, that's why Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai sat in the sukkah? Because he sat in the sukkah because the Torah says the sukkah stays for Shivas Yomim. That's why you have to sit in the sukkah. Not because Loimet Shalom Aslasu, he says like this. He says, really, the Iker is to learn. If Reb Shimon bar Yochai, who was learning all the time, would have been potter from the mitzvahs. But since learning has to be Almanas Lasois, if he wouldn't stop to do the mitzvah, his learning wouldn't be Almanas Lasois. It would be a chesaron in his learning. But the tachlis is to learn almanas lasois. The only reason you have to do the mitzvahs, if you're learning all the time, otherwise you have to do. The only reason you have to stop to do the mitzvahs is that your learning should be almanas lasois. Yeah? So, with that concept, I want to suggest the following thing. What's the pshat in almanas lasois? Because almanas lasois creates a shibut to Hashem. When I learn a sugya, I learn, and I want to figure out, what does Hashem want? Almanas lasus. What am I supposed to do from here? And I come to a conclusion. Okay, Reb Chaim Moshe learned the sugya of electricity. They invented electricity. Reb Chaim Moshe learned the sugya, and he said it's fire. He found out what electricity is. He learned the sugya, fire. Chazon Ish learned the same sugya, and he says it's not fire, it's boine, because he completed the circuit. Both learned the sugya al menas lasos. Now, both are legitimate, because they both learned the sugya al menas lasos, and that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to learn the sugya, to learn the Torah al menas lasos. And you have to do the mitzvah so that the learning should be al menas lasos. But he wants that the learning should be al menas lasos. Why? Because learning al menas lasos creates shibud. And you know what shibud does? Rashi says at the end of Parshas Bahar that there's a posuk avodayhem, and Rashi and the Chazal bring that, he brings a sifri, that it's a posuk for a Jew that's sold to a goy as an eved, because he stole, because he didn't have any money. And Shaloi Teimar, this is the lotion of the Sifri Rashi. Ma Rabbi Yovid Avay Dezora Afani Kamoyu. Ma Rabbi Shefich Domim Afani Kamoyu. Ma Rabbi Mechal Shabbos Afani Kamoyu. My master is Mechal Shabbos. I don't know why the goy would want to, the Jew would want to work on Shabbos. He has to work as a slave, but that's besides the point. Ma Rabbi Mechal Shabbos Afani Kamoyu. What's that all about? Your master, he doesn't treat you like an Eved Ivri. If he has only one pillow, he's going to give you his pillow. He treats you like a goy would treat a slave. You're a slave. There's such a thing that when someone is mishabed me, I want to identify with him. They call it in psychology the Stockholm syndrome. We want to identify with the one that controls us. When a person learns Torah al menas lasos, he's mishabed himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because whatever the halacha is, that's what I'm going to do. If it's Eish, then it's Eish. If it's Binyan, it's Binyan. If it's Baruch Ber Pri HaGofen before Kiddush, then no, it is. If it's Kiddush before Ber Pri HaGofen, that's what it is. So I'm being mishabed myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that do? When a person is mishubed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to identify with him. Then I become like him. Mahu rachum afato rachum. I want to be like him. I want to mold myself after him. I want to make my character like his character. Rachum v'chanun erech hapayim. I want to become godly. I'm craving. I'm misaveh for that. Ma rabbi afani. Ma rabbi rachum afani rachum. Ma rabbi chanun afani chanun. Ma rabbi erech hapayim afani erech hapayim. And that's the tachlis of everything. What does Hashem want? Chazal say that lo nitna hamitzvahs ela letzarif ben esabriyos. The mitzvahs were only given to refine the character, so we become godly. If we become godly, we can connect with Hashem. We become worthy of connecting with Hashem, and we become capable of connecting with Hashem. If you're a man of truth, can you have a friend who is a liar? Very hard. If you're a man of kindness, can you have a friend who's cruel? Very hard to have a relationship like that. So we, in order to connect with Hashem, we have to become like Him. Mahu rachum avato rachum. If you go bidrochov, then you'll be able to be mekayim vidovaktoboy. So all the mitzvahs are to purify the character, to make us godly, to connect with Hashem. And the Torah is the same thing. When I learn the Torah al menas lasos, then I mishabed myself to Hashem. So the good news is, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Hashem doesn't care which way you do it. In fact, He gave both opinions at Har Sinai. And it's irrelevant, his opinion, because you know what his opinion is? When there was no machlokes, so everybody did the same thing. When there was talmidim shoshim shekol tzorchim, we couldn't help it, we only saw a perspective. And now, with that different perspective, we come out with different conclusions. Eish, binyan, ber pri hagofen before, ber pri hagofen after. Hashem doesn't care. You learned the sugya. You meshabed yourself la Hashem. You crave to identify with Him. You make yourself godly in your midas, like Hashem. You can be dovuk Hashem. You fulfill the purpose of creation. That's what it's all about.